I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
How deep the Father's love for
God loves the world in this way.
How fast
he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
To make a wretched treasure.
Whoever believes in him will not be condemned.
How great the pain of sinning loss.
So ashamed.
The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the soul.
That's not much of a redemption that can be lost in a day, is it?
Bring many sons to glory.
Even come back on my own. They had to come get me. This can't
be helped. But that's true.
You don't have to. I just want your heart. The Father just wants your heart. Don't matter where you're from or what you've done.
It was my sin that held him there.
Are you rejected by others?
No. By the Messiah.
His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is
Amen. This is truly my favorite day of the year. Just remembering, reflecting on us, took our sins. Honestly, and I've shared this in past sermons, but I can remember moments of even when I was younger thinking about this and watching scenes. Just experiencing and sensing God, what he did. I don't know. For me, it just gets me really emotional. So, and if you know me, I'm not terribly emotional. But I hope you capture the heart of this. This isn't just a scripted message that we're just coming in here to entertain you. this is where really the heart of this is to catch the essence of God's love for you this morning. And it's going to happen through video. It's going to happen through song. It's going to happen through Pastor Matt and I sharing different aspects of what took place during Jesus' death and resurrection. And, you know, when we think about this idea of love, right? I mean, how many movies have been made depicting on, you know, the self-sacrifice, the friend or the couple or the family member giving it all? And it permeates our culture, and it's timeless. It really is a timeless message. And we can't escape. We see it time and time again. You know, any big Marvel fans out there? Remember Endgame and Tony Stark? And, you know, in that last moment, if you're not familiar with the movie, go and watch it. Or look up it on YouTube. You'll see it. But at the very end, Tony Stark, he has the glove. He can change everything. Because Thanos, this kind of the evil character in the film, essentially had changed the world, made it just went horribly wrong, and Tony Stark, had the opportunity to change it, everything, for the good. But it required him to sacrifice his life, and he did it. With the snap of his fingers in the movies we see, everything changes. Thanos is gone, the evil is gone, everything is restored back to the way it was. Now here's the thing, that's a fictional character. We know it, but how many of you shed a tear? Admit it, right? It does, it grabs you. But here we have the real person in real time coming, sacrificing, giving his all. He is truly what? The real hero in our world, isn't he? I mean, he truly, truly is. Now, one of the most moving scenes right before Jesus' death and resurrection is, of course, his time at the table. We've seen the pictures. It's been illustrated in various ways. And what I'm going to share this morning is to a little bit trying to kind of get inside Jesus' heart and mind in this moment and what was going on. And I'm going to do a little bit the same when I come to talk about the cross and the outcast. But I always wonder what was going through his mind, because he knew what was coming, but they didn't. They really didn't know what was coming. And so, you know, it's fascinating. We look at this, Jesus coming to the table. He's with his disciples. They're getting ready to enjoy the Passover meal. He knows what's coming, but he doesn't wallow in self-pity or worry or fret or wring his hand. He just does what Jesus does. He loves, he teaches, he instructs. But he knew he had to prepare him for what was to come, because he knew what was going to happen to his friends was going to be devastating, and it was going to change their life. I mean, it would for the good, really. But in the moment, it would be devastating. They wouldn't know, they'd be confused, they would be unsure. But what's the first thing he does? He washes their feet. Still teaching, still loving, still serving. Jesus washes each of the disciples' feet right before the supper. And he takes that time, and, you know, of course, we know the story. Peter rejects it and said, Jesus, what are you doing? And Jesus said, if you don't allow me to do this, you will not have any part of me. And Peter says, all right, wash everything. I accept it. I receive it. Lord, do what you have to do. And he goes and he washes all of his disciples' feet. He goes on to speak of his betrayal. He even points Judas out. And they're still unsure what's happening. So Judas leaves at this point. And then I love this section in John chapter 15. And this is 9 through 17. And I think this really captures the heart of Jesus in this moment at the table. He says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you these things so you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Catch this. Love each other the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than this. than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. You are my friends. He's saying this to the disciples, and capture this. You are my friends. This is the God of the universe. You are my friends. And again, I don't think they quite caught it in the moment, but no doubt their hearts were moved. It says, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. But now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Keep that in your mind this morning. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that my Father will give you whatever you ask for. In my name, this is my command. Love each other. Now, I imagine after Jesus said this, he's looking at his disciples, kind of this, you know, kind of awe moment, you know, the fear maybe of what was to come, of course, of other things he was talking about. But in his heart, his love for them had grown. He could see that love returned. But really, what I could also imagine Jesus was thinking, what their lives would be life like without him. All these men coming different walks of life, the paths they were on for some were truly not good. Some were just filled with struggle and just trying to do their best to serve God, but they had no purpose. But Jesus came. He offered them new life. He loved them, has come alongside them. And his heart was just so moved. And he said, again, echoing those same words to himself, God, I will die for them. I will do whatever I need to do because I want their life to be changed. I want them to live an eternity with me. And I have no doubt in that moment he's thinking of all of humanity because he knew it wasn't just for his friends, but it was for all people. Because he knew we needed his love. We needed him to come into our lives to help free us from that sin and trapped in. We needed it. He knew it. Not just for his friends, but for us as well. Where would they be without my love? Where would they be without God's forgiveness? So as we listen to this next song, truly think about this, because this is really, honestly, is really at the heart of our message this morning.
I saw mercy. Mercy seated where the judge should be, was guilty. Guilty of getting out of jail free. How could it be I didn't get the life I deserved? And the only thing he wanted was my heart in return. And every time I think about it, every time I thought was the end, I'm caught up in wonder again. Where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God?
If it wasn't for the love of God.
Oh, yeah. This song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah, for the love of God has set me free. Turn into a field of green, started breathing. When heaven's favor took a hold of me, how could it be I'm living with an infinite worth? And the one I thought I chose had really chosen me first. And every time I think about it, every time I thought was the end, oh, I'm caught up in wonder again. Where would I be? Where would
set me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
failures and mistakes. I will never know the depths of this grace. Now my heart is beating for heaven's sake. And for the love of God, if it wasn't for my failures and mistakes, I would never know the depths of this grace. Now my heart is beating for heaven's sake.
Amen is right, absolutely. Now, one of the most gripping scenes is where? Right behind me. And we've all probably heard the stories, and I know we've probably done past sermons where we go walk through the just kind of the horrific description of the cross, and it was brutal. It was meant to be a form of torture before eventually one would, of course, die through the whole process. It was just horrific. And I'm thinking of Jesus, what is going through his mind at this time? How is he processing this? Clearly, you know, he knows what he's doing, but he's, you know, we know he's human. He's feeling the pain, he's feeling the suffering, he's struggling. He knew his life was short, but he knew what he'd come to do. And as I was thinking about this, I can imagine, you know, he's looking down, he sees disciple John there with his mom and some others just a little ways away. And he's probably so thankful that they were there, even though he knew it was hard on them, that they were there. It just felt like somebody was there, somebody cared. But he knew what was happening was more than, as I talked about earlier, about just dying for his friends. He knew what he was doing. He was dying for those guards. He was dying for those religious leaders. He was dying for the Roman authorities. Now, this is hard for us to wrap our minds around. But he was dying for the people, or the outliers, the outcasts, the sinners, the ones who hated him. And that's one of those things that just, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. Now, also, and we know this from Scripture, that some people just, they can't, and even our culture today, we don't understand, why did he have to die? And some would say it's foolish. It just caused confusion. They just walk away. It's like, I don't get it. Why that? But it had to be done because we knew there had to be a price to be paid for our sin that we can't pay ourselves. We can't work it off. And Jesus knew that. And that's why he did it. He knew it. He embraced it. And he knew that through that, the Holy Spirit would come and begin to, as people, you know, seeing what Jesus has done for them, and they would begin to think about and ponder, yeah, I do need forgiveness too. And the Spirit would come in and work and convict and lead them to God. And he knew this. But dying for the outcast is something, and just for us is really, really hard to think. But here's the thing, the Father's heart, God's heart, just breaks for those who could give a rip about him, those who could care less, those who deny him. He could care less. He could care less. Jesus, of course, God cared, but they could care less about God. And the heart, God's heart was breaking. Jesus' heart was breaking. We have the scene here of the criminal Jesus. We got this wonderful mic back. We'll see. I'll take it out and see if that helps. And here he is, along with the other criminal, and then both of them deserved of the punishment, deserved of the penalty they were facing. And he got one criminal when for some reason is defending Jesus, telling the other guy, stop saying all these things. Don't you know we deserve this? But he doesn't. He doesn't. And I imagine it blew Jesus away. Even in this moment, this man is desperate, and he's defending him. And Jesus could sense his heart. He could sense the struggle this man was having and recognizing his own sin and his own brokenness. And the man goes so far as to say, Jesus, he's desperate. When you go into your kingdom, will you remember me? Will you remember me? And I had no doubt, and in Jesus' mind, his pain, the suffering, the struggle, he said his heart broke for this man. His heart broke for this man who, for just moments that they've been side by side in this terrible moment, Jesus' heart broke for this man, this outcast, who essentially lived his whole life running away from God, and now he's wanting to be saved. He wants to spend eternity with God. One last desperate attempt. And Jesus' heart broke for him. And what does he say? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. He didn't have time to do a few good works and repent and do all this stuff. But here's the thing. And some of us, well, that's not fair. How does he get in? And he's not good. And, you know, all those questions, natural questions come up. I get it. But regardless, Jesus loves humanity that much. I don't think we fully grasp the inestimable value that we have to him. Little old you, little old broken, messed up, broken you. And me. He cares that much. And I would say, I would go so far to Jesus, if that thief was the only one Jesus was dying for, he would have done it. I'm good, Lord. Send me. I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. But he didn't, not just for that thief. He did for all the outcasts. For all the outcasts. The end's coming. His heart, of course, as we can see, is broken for humanity. But he was willing to do it. He was willing to do it. And as we listen to this next song, know that you don't have to be good enough. No, you don't have to do all these things. I'll get my life straight and then I'll come to church. I'll get my life straight and then I'll talk to God about things. I'll get my life straight and let me fix a few things and then I'll be good to go. And then, you know, me and God, we can hang out and do stuff. No. He wants you in the condition that you are in. He took the thief on the cross. This guy had no time to fix anything. And Jesus says, I got you. He knew his heart was sincere. He knew the man was repentant. He knew in that moment that guy was taking ownership. Even in those short words, the short lines that we see in the passage, we knew, Jesus knew, this man's life was changed. As you listen to this last song, or this song coming up next here, think about yourself. Are you the outcast? Are you the outlier? Are you one that just keeps blowing it? This song's for you. You are perfectly loved, regardless of what you're struggling with, what's overwhelming you, whoever you think you are, or whatever. God takes you where you're at, and that's just the amazing beauty of the gospel message.
Who said that you were beautiful, that you didn't belong in the Holy Spirit? Who said that you were all alone, and that you're never gonna find love again? So many little words, so many little lies that have followed you all of your life. Looking for the truth, look into your eyes, and you'll see it's been there the whole time. Ooh, either way you were running, either way you were hiding, never been a moment that you were not perfectly loved. When you barely believed it, when your eyes couldn't see it, every single moment you've always been perfectly loved. Ooh. Heaven has for you, and now he's always been drawing you in.
So many open doors,
so many open doors,
so many miracles,
so many that
have followed you all of your life. Looking for the truth,
looking for the truth,
look into your eyes,
oh,
and you'll see it's been there the whole time.
Fixing a soul
in the arms of his grace.
You're perfectly human, made from the dust.
You got a heart broken and scarred, yet perfectly loved.
Oh,
either way you were running, either way
who feels perfectly loved? You ever wake up and actually struggle with who you are, how you feel, how you act, how you're being treated, how you're being seen? See, love is an amazing thing. If you look over here, what Pastor Chad was talking about, there's this table, and Jesus is with his friends. And what does it mean to love friends? Does that mean no matter what they do, you're just there for them, and you're just a great person, and you're there for them no matter how they think or what they do? You know how Jesus loved his friends? He was honest with them. He pointed out faults. He looked at Peter one time and referred to him as Satan because Peter was trying to get Jesus to act in a way that he shouldn't. Thought he was doing well. So love doesn't always come in these flowers and everyone thinking everything that you do is fantastic. Sometimes love comes in ways where you need to hear the truth from people. And Jesus had the ability to do that. And you walk over here, and with the thief, Jesus, it wasn't about deserving. Sometimes we love because people do things for us, so we're going to love and give them something back. But it wasn't about that. This thief hadn't done anything for Jesus. He wasn't there talking about the good news and following Jesus, trying to be a disciple. He was thinking of himself, you know, messing up other people, taking things from them. But Jesus loved beyond that. It was unconditional. And no, we just have the two portraying, but there was a third cross. And even that thief looked at Jesus and just chastised him, still didn't appreciate who he was. And Jesus still loved him. So now we talk about the love of friends, the love of outcasts, and now it's Jesus' love for us. Do you know that you are, just like the song said, you are perfectly loved? And perfect or perfection is without fault. So you are loved without fault by a God who cares for you enough to send his son. And his son died for you because you deserved it. No, because you're going to do something great in the future? Well, we hope so, but that wasn't the reason why. You are just loved. And so did this come easy? You see, Jesus was divine because he was from heaven, born of a virgin, but he's also human. It says he took form of a human in Philippians. He said took the very nature of a servant. And so his love was about serving you. And setting the example for you, allowing us to have this word, this truth, to guide our lives, to help us with the yeses and the noes, to help us flee from sin and live a life not only benefit us, but more importantly, would benefit others. So his love for us, it took him to that cross. We have a clip here, a video I want to show you that has to do, helps us comprehend what he had to endure, because he was human. So what did he endure for you? What was his thought process? What was going through his mind? What kind of pain? You see, you think about the cross. We've all seen the movies. And man, he was lashed and he was whipped, and some of the whips had shards of glass in them, and so he was, in a way, disfigured of the beating and the pain. The spikes. Can you even fathom that pain? But now set that on the shelf for just a moment, not to belittle it. But he knew that he had to die for your sins of the world. I don't know what that feels like, but sin is ugly. Sin was created by Satan. It came to destroy us. Sin, ultimately, its design is to take us and implant us in hell for an eternity. And so the word says that Jesus had to take that upon himself for us. And that's a step that none of us can probably fathom. But listen to this video. It's going to help you give us just an insight to what Jesus had to go through.
So here's the question. If you could go back in time and undo a mistake, what would you change? Maybe it was a relationship you never should have started, or a drink you never should have taken. Maybe it was a lie you told, or money you stole. Maybe it was a website you visited. What would you undo? Maybe it's the flirting at work, or the angry words to a loved one. Maybe it was a trip to an abortion. We all have mistakes. Mistakes we wish we could undo, times we would love to go back and just get a do-over. But instead of finding a fresh start, we find that we're a prisoner of our own past, trapped by our own mistakes.
Not only that, but all too often, I find myself continuing to make the same mistakes. I feel powerless to change. I'm determined not to blow it again, only to find myself making the same mistake the next day. Like the Apostle Paul said, I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do. So the question is, Do I have the power to change? Will I ever be free from my past mistakes? Will I ever be the person deep down I long to be? It's a question most of us ask, and we're not the only ones. Two of Jesus' closest disciples would find themselves wondering the same thing that first Easter season.
In the quiet of the garden, Jesus goes off by himself. The disciples are confused. They are afraid. They can't possibly see what's coming. Even if they could, they wouldn't begin to understand the events that are about to unfold. But Jesus does. He understands. He knows the horror that awaits him. He knows the price that has to be paid. And so in the still of the night, he cries out to his Father.
Abba. Abba, Father. I don't want to drink from this cup. Father. Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass.
He asks God if there's any other way to do this. He cries out, Abba, Father, take this cup from me. And it's not that Jesus was afraid of death. It's not that he was unwilling to endure the pain of crucifixion, but he understood that he was dying for the sins of the world. On the cross, he would become sin. He would experience the sin and guilt of all humanity. There's no way for us to understand what that would be like, but just try to imagine it. Imagine the weight of guilt you have felt for your most destructive decisions, your most painful mistakes, the things you most wish you could take back. And then imagine feeling that for every person who has ever lived. Jesus knew that bearing the sins of mankind would be an ordeal far worse than physical suffering. And the scriptures say that Jesus' prayers were so intense that his sweat was like drops of blood.
The most likely medical explanation for this is a condition known as hematidrosis. This is where the capillaries of the forehead actually burst due to the incredible stress. And even though Jesus is in anguish, we see that he embraces the plan God established from the moment sin entered the world. And so he prays, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Everything in his life has led to this point. The teaching, the miracles, countless lives changed, everything leads to this. And Jesus knows it. He knows that this is the beginning of the end.
Can you imagine? Anyone ever had the opportunity to risk your life for someone else? Maybe it was on a small scale, but you saw something happening that you're like, I have to jump in there. And if that was ever done for you, wouldn't you think, man, I owe this person a debt of gratitude? And sometimes we watch the movies where, you know, someone saved someone's life and they're like, hey, anything you want, I'll do anything for you. And if we could just put ourselves and really not only put ourselves in this position, but it's reality, Jesus did this for us. And leading up to the cross, this is what he had to deal with. He had to come to the point where he said, You are worth my sacrifice. You are worth what I'm about to do. And he did it. But it wasn't just this easy snap of a finger because he was the Son of God. He had to feel all that pain. But we were worth it. If you struggle with any insecurities whatsoever, you were worth the decision that Jesus made. You see, he could have failed. Matthew chapter 4, Satan tried to make him fail on three occasions, saying, man, just worship me. I'll give you all this and throw yourself down. The angels will take care of it. Satan was twisting scripture, doing anything in his power. He even confronted Jesus after he had fasted for 40 days. So in Satan's mind, thinking, hey, he's weak, but actually spiritually he was strong because he had been that close to God for that long. The whole time he did it for us. I mean, that is love. And so he goes to the cross. He's crucified on that cross. They pull him off the cross. The very people that wanted him dead are like praising. I mean, this is what wrecks my mind. I'm a licensed minister. To think that I would do anything that could lead all of you astray just blows my mind. But these Pharisees, these teachers of the law, were rejoicing the death of a man who was fulfilling prophets or prophecies in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 talks about, and this man will be beaten beyond recognition. He was like a lamb led to slaughter, the atonement for our sins. And to the T, Jesus' life was fulfilling this prophecy that was 700 years before. He died, man, curtains were ripping, stones were being rolled away. I mean, the dead people were coming out of tombs. All this was happening. And guess what happened when the guards who were guarding Jesus' tomb, that were confronted by all these angels, stone was rolled away, the body's gone. They go tell the Sanhedrin, they go tell the Pharisees, the Sadducees, this is what happened. They simply pay them some money and say, now this is the story that you're going to tell them. Oh, does that, anyone else struggle when you watch a TV show and something wrong is being done? I'm like, this isn't right. It just eats you up. And yet Jesus, when he was on the cross, knowing what these men are going to do, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. That's love. Anyone struggling with people in your lives? Family, friends, enemies, bosses? You know, if you treat them the same way they treat you, they're seeing what they already have. They need to see the love of Jesus Christ. So it's one thing for us to understand that he loved his friends, he loved the outcasts, he loved us, but it's another thing for us to say, can we love like him? Can people see Jesus through us? So when the stone was rolled away and Jesus raised from the dead, it was at that point that we had victory. Our sins were forgiven, the debt was paid. A bridge was built now from us to God. You see, when sin entered the world, there was a void. But Jesus came and died for us, that whomever would admit and confess that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, they will be saved. So that's just a question I want to ask you. If you're sitting right here, or if you're watching us online and you're saying, that is a relationship either I don't have or that I am not living. But understanding this truth now, understanding the love of Jesus, understanding that it's through him that we have life. And really, when you think about it, it's through that love that we have life on earth and reason and purpose for us to love people as Jesus. If you're like, I desire that commitment, I just want to pray with you. This is what I want to do. Stare at me. Open your eyes. Look right at me. If you're saying, I want that, if you have it, praise God. Once you're saved, I mean, you can backslide and recommit. But I'm not here to pull hands up of people who have Jesus in their heart and are living for it. If you're like, I need to recommit myself, I need to ask Christ into my heart. I want the ability to love like Jesus loved. I want to serve that purpose in this world. Would you just slip your hand straight up, and I just want to pray with you. Praise God. I see that. Repeat this, all of us together, repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You died for me, and you pardoned my sin. Come into my heart, purify me, white as snow, in your name, amen. Listen, this is a beautiful song, but listen to the words of this song to help understand now what you've done and how we can receive this in gratitude.
All my words fall short, I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is your hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much. I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart in your hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on my soul, oh don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. 'Cause you've got a light inside of those mountains. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a light inside of those mountains. Get up and praise the Lord. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
it's not mine. I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Almost the focus on those words. He says, I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a king. All I have is a hallelujah. And what he's getting at is we as people can look at ourselves sometimes and think, I just don't have much to offer. But God's saying, all I want is a hallelujah. All I want is for you to recognize that you are loved by a king who gave his life for you. And when you recognize that, your hallelujah is living in your worlds for Jesus. And it's going to look different than other people. Don't compare yourself, because you're not them, you're you. So just give God your hallelujah. You know what I love about that video, and this is going to seem judgy, but as a pastor, I have a lot of people that ask me questions that have a lot to do with appearance. So I'm watching this video, and this man, you know, kind of braided out, lifting his hand, jewelry, tattoos up and down. You know how often we're judged in this world for any reason? Anyone out there been young and pregnant, out of wedlock, you feel judged, make decisions that you regret, you feel judged. God just wants us to love. What does my judgment do to somebody else? But what can my love do for them? If you've made a mistake, do you need to be told again and again and again that you made a mistake? Or you just need somebody to say, that's okay, now get back up and let's go again. You ever try something, anyone ride a bike? You fall over, you take the train wheels off, you fall over, hopefully mom or dad get you back up, and then let's try it again until you get it. And then when you get it, now you have the ability to train people how to ride a bike. You see, this word right here, this is our lifeline. This is our truth. If you're sitting out there today and you're like, okay, yeah, I understand there's a God, maybe even ask him to your heart, but as far as reading and really getting into it, hey, that's pretty deep. That's for you pastors. I'll just sit and listen to you. No, God wants a personal relationship with you. Get into your word. It's the big, thick Bible. I'll tell you what, go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, the fourth gospel. He was a disciple, kind of known as the best friend of Jesus. I mean, Jesus loved all, but John was just there. He was attentive. John was the one that Jesus left his mother in care when he was on a cross and said, man, she is your mother. Mother, this is your son. And so John wrote his gospel just passionately in love with Jesus as a best friend. Read John and just understand the word of God through that. Be in this every day. If you have a minute, if you have an hour, it's not about how much can I get into me because I'm spiritual. It's about start your day off with truth. Prepare yourself for the world. Who needs a cup of coffee before they go to work? Why do you do that? I have a friend at work that says, don't talk to me yet. I haven't had my coffee. Once he has his coffee, okay, I'm good to go. Well, can you imagine, hey, don't talk to me yet. I haven't talked to God. Well, you want to be prepared. Living a life for Jesus is so much more than saying a prayer and then going on with life, because you are an example. And Jesus set the example for us. He's asking us to set the example for others. So in all this that we've talked about, it's all in how Jesus loved us. Do you know why he did that? To teach us how to love others. If we receive this love but we can't give it out, we're missing the point of Jesus Christ and we're wanting something for ourselves. I want this eternity, so I'll say this prayer. But God desires that we love others in the way that he's loved us. And we are empowered that way through his word. The Holy Spirit comes in us and gives us abilities that we don't have on our own. He gives us patience that we don't have on our own. The fruit of the Spirit, he gives us all of them. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Who needs that one? That is the fruit of the Spirit. When they say Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is what Jesus said comes into you when you ask Him into your heart. So we have the abilities for that fruit, but we have to stay connected to our Savior. Once we're connected to our Savior, your life takes on a purpose that will blow your mind, because you're just loving people like Jesus loved in our imperfections. It's not about doing everything right. It's about being forgiven. So that's what we want you to go with today. We have, as you walk out of our church, we have these little 10-day devotionals. Please grab one. It's a great start of just, it's a little story along with a scripture of just being in the Word. But I'm telling you, get into the Word. If you're like, I don't have a Bible, talk to me. I will get you one. But get into the Word. Get into a relationship with God. This will fuel you on a daily basis. I'm telling you, even if you're born again and you're just kind of going off of what's in your mind, it will change your life. God, I'm just a person. But what God's done with me and even pulled me out of, and the vision He gives me for people, it's amazing how it's received when people can be loved by you, no matter what they look like, how they act, or how they treat you. You have the ability to live that way, but it only comes through the power of God. Amen? Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I pray that this room is yours. That those listening in their homes may, right now, your Spirit just fill their room. What it feels like just to be loved by you. So God, may we be there in truth and honesty and love for our friends. May we be there for the outcasts in our lives, the people that are just screwing up as fast as they can, searching for something they think they want, but just being misled by Satan. May we understand that your love is for all. So may we treat all just like that. It's not agreeing with people, but it's loving them. And help them to see the truth that you've shown us. So God, I thank you for those who raise their hand, who have you in their hearts. May this not be just like a camp experience of emotion, but may we be in your Word and just begin to look at people like they are loved by God. Treat them like Jesus treated us. And just watch your power and your love change the lives of people. So go this now, Father. May this be so much more than just maybe a fun experience of an Easter service. And may this be the day where some of us say, man, I remember that day. I will never forget it. God, you got a hold of me. And I started just trying to act like you, Lord Jesus. Unconditional love. So, Father, speak this each individually in the way that we can comprehend. And we give you the time, and we take the time to listen to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your death. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you that you live again. And through you, we have an inheritance. We have been adopted by your Father. And ours, our future is your eternity with you in heaven. Lord God, may we just grasp that. And may we fear for those like the thief on the other side, who rejected, because their eternity is hell. Give us spiritual eyes and vision to care for people's lives and their eternities, and their families, and their, God, may we not act and walk in judgment, but just give us our heart of Jesus, we pray in your name alone. Amen.